As promised, to close the show, he is UFC president. He is a friend of the program. UFC 250, Nunes v. Spencer, Saturday, live from Las Vegas. It's on ESPN Plus, pay-per-view. He is Dana White. Dana, good to have you back. How are you, Dana?
I'm great, brother. How are you?
Good, good. Good to hear your voice. Listen, before we get to Saturday's card, you and I have not had a chance to have a conversation since Justin Gaethje beat Tony Ferguson. It was an amazing performance. What did you make of what you saw from Gaethje that night?
Yeah, it was a great fight. Gaethje did what he needed to do. He fought the perfect fight and put himself in a great position. You know, when you step up and accept fights, you know, at short notice or whatever the case might be, you know, there is no reward without risk. He jumped in, he did it, and same goes for Tony. Tony took a tough fight, you know, that's how it played out.
It was an amazing fight. Dana White's joining us. So, Dana, shifting to Saturday, UFC 250. I know you're in the moment, but 250, that's a massive number. What does that milestone number represent to you?
Yeah, I mean, the sale was at 200, you know, so I've had over 50 fights since the sale. It represents that time is flying, my friend.
No, it certainly is. 250 is an enormous number, and I can't believe it's already been 50 since the sale. Now, the card, Dana, is headlined by Amanda Nunes defending her featherweight belt against Felicia Spencer. You and I have talked about Amanda in the past. She is an absolute superstar, both in the cage and just as a personality. What is it in your mind that sets her apart? What makes her so special?
Yeah, listen, first and foremost, she's the baddest woman on the planet. And if you look at the list of names that she's gone through, it's the who's who of mixed martial arts and how she beat them. Outside the octagon, she is an amazing human being. I have an incredible relationship with her. And, you know, she's doing the Tom Brady right now. She's breaking all these records that are going to be tough to break.
Is there any doubt in your mind that she is the greatest women's fighter of all time, or is that still an open question?
No, it's not a question at all. I mean, if you look at the people, she beat Shevchenko twice. She beat Ronda Rousey. She beat Jermaine de Randamie. She beat Holly Holm. And she absolutely destroyed Cyborg. So, I mean, she's the best.
I want to go back to that point, Dan. It's not just who she beat. It's how she beat them and what they say about her. Like Misha Tate said, quote, "I felt like one of those Marvel video game characters with the life bar. When you're playing the game and the life bar is trying to build, but you keep getting hit and it keeps getting smaller, that's how I felt." Kat Zingano, the last person to beat Nunes, said, quote, "I remember getting hit and seeing like the stars and birds from the cartoons." Dan, how would you describe her power and the damage it does to opponents?
Yeah, Dan Lambert, the guy who owns the American Top Team down in Florida, said that sometimes they put her in there and she spars with guys and she rings their bells. I mean, this is a woman that could absolutely positively knock out a man. She is extremely powerful. She's a well-rounded mixed martial artist now, and she's the best ever.
And then coming out of the cage, she couldn't be more charming and more personable. She's awesome, but she is a killer inside. Now, Spencer was the Invicta FC featherweight champ. What is her path to a win over Nunes?
Listen, anything can happen on any given night when you get talented athletes in there together. And this woman definitely has the ability to win. And, you know, we're just sitting here talking about all the great things that Amanda has accomplished. But one of the things you can't do is think that you're unbeatable, think that you're unstoppable, think that, you know, let's not forget, Holly Holm going into the Ronda Rousey fight, nobody thought that Holly was going to win that fight. She couldn't win. This is the sport where underdogs really do upset, and you have to stay on top of your game when you are the champ, because when you think about it, everybody is picking you apart every day. They're training just to beat you. And you have to be ready for that.
The thing I like best about your sport is everybody loses at some point. Literally everybody loses at some point because of all the various disciplines, and there's so many different factors. Now, the card also features, Dana, Rafael Assunza, and that he's going up against Cody Garbrandt. It's interesting because Garbrandt was the bantamweight champ 3.5 years ago, but since then he's lost a couple of times to TJ Dillashaw. He lost in the first round at UFC 235. So where is he right now in his career after those losses?
Yeah, this is a big fight for both guys because Asuncio has been trying to get you know, a title shot for a long time too. And Cody Garbrandt's trying to get back there. Garbrandt has dropped to number 9 in the rankings, Asuncion number 5. And, you know, this is one of those fights. You know, we have a bunch of bantamweight fights on this card for guys jockeying for position to get back in line for a title shot. So, very important fight and a very fun fight. The Asuncion Garbrandt fight is a good fight.
So, Dana, what's it been like? We've had one event, but what's it been like to have the thing returned back to Nevada and doing your home base?
Yeah, no, it's been good, man. It's good to get back here. You know, we built this arena so we could do fights here. Obviously, much safer for the staff and everybody else. But I must say, Florida was very good to us. So, but it's good to be home.
Dana, what's it like in that smaller cage? Do you like that? And could we see more of that going forward?
Yeah, I think people are playing up too much about the smaller cage. You know, we did. I had our stats guys pull up some numbers. Finish rate is about the same between the two different cages. The problem is that in a small venue, I can't have that massive cage. And then you know, these big stadiums that we do, I can't have the smaller cage.
Right. UFC 250 is coming up. It's live from Las Vegas. It's on ESPN+. It's pay-per-view. It's coming up this weekend. Dana, of course, I can't let you go without asking you about the big dog, John Jones, and a much-discussed possible fight with Francis Ngannou. He did tweet, as you know, quote, "It's interesting to just sit here and watch your boss lie to the camera like this. We never discussed any increase in pay. Immediately, the conversation was that I already made enough. I never made a number offer." He also tweeted, quote, "I was over the situation, but I'm not going to sit back and allow Dana to lie to the fans. I never asked for an absurd amount of money. That's bull bleep," end of quote. Dana, what was your reaction when you heard all that?
Yeah, so I was in the gym working out, and I'm watching SportsCenter. And, yeah, it's fun to see that pop up, especially when it's not true. So, you know, John and I have beefed in the past. We're beefing now, and we will beef again in the future. I promise you that. You know, this stuff happens all the time. And hopefully we get this worked out. You know, I'm not trying to make John look bad or any of that stuff. Listen, the truth is the truth, and the fact that you want more money, listen, everybody wants more money. It's human nature. It always happens. You know, and it's not just John Jones. You know, we've gone through this with many fighters over the last 20 years. But, you know, it is what it is. I don't even really know what to say about it other than, you know. And then in the same text or a text right after that, he admits, yes, I'm looking for more money.
So in terms of more money, Dana, without getting into the specifics, did he drop an actual number on you?
Well, yeah. I mean, he comes out in that tweet. He says, well, since we're talking about Wilder, I'll take half of what he's asking for. I'll take $15 million.
Was that the number? Was it 15 or was it 30? Like, did he want Wilder money or did he want half of Wilder money?
He wanted Wilder money. Then when this thing went down and, you know, when it finally came out that, yeah, it was about money, he said, all right, then I'll take half. I'll take $15 million.
But he did at some point say, I want Wilder money. He wanted that full number to begin with. Is that where he started in his so-called negotiation?
100%.
Dana White's joining us. So one more thought. When a Twitter follower or user asked him, does this mean you're giving up your title? He said yes. I mean, Dana, is that what's happening? Is he giving up his belt? Or is this some drama that's ultimately going to fade away?
I don't know. I honestly don't know the answer to that question. We'll see how this thing plays out with John. Obviously, I don't want John to give up the belt. I mean, I'm the one out here saying, you know, there's all this debate over who the GOAT is. There is no debate. There's no debate. The GOAT is absolutely John Jones. If you look at what he's done in his career, he still hasn't lost a fight. Look at all the things that he has done to himself outside of the octagon, and he still has not lost a fight. And, you know, you'll have the people that are going to say, oh, well, I don't think he won the last fight, and I don't think he won the fight before. It doesn't matter what you think. You're not a judge. The three guys that matter said he won. The guy's still never been beat, despite, the, you know, the damage he's done to himself outside of the octagon. And when I'm sitting here still saying that this guy is the GOAT, the crazy part is imagine what John Jones could have been. And he's the GOAT. It's crazy.
Dana White's joining us. So is there a sense of what he could still be? Like, I understand you're in the middle of this right now, Dana, but like, what would your expectation as a date and a weight class for his next fight to be?
You know, I would imagine defend the title again against Dominic Reyes. Very controversial decision, like I said, but, you know, the three judges said he won the fight. and, you know, fight Dominic Reyes again. Then you want to move up to heavyweight. You know, I respect the fact that he wants to fight Francis Ngannou, one of the scariest human beings on planet Earth right now. But I'd rather see him fight for the title.
As a non-title fight, though, Dana, you know that we're all tuning in for that. If you had to guess, how do you think that would go? Ngannou, with his punching power and Jon Jones being the GOAT, in the event that that came to be, how do you think that would go?
I don't know, man. It's fascinating. It's a fascinating fight. It isn't $30 million fascinating, but it's fascinating.
Is it $15 million fascinating?
No. Hey, apparently you guys haven't been watching TV. We're in a pandemic here, right? No gates. We're fighting in front of no people. And a lot of other hurdles and things that are tough right now.
I've been seeing that myself. I have been. Dan, I don't want to make this all about him, but one final thought. Like, when you said to him, hey, John, I can show you the numbers. I can walk you through this. I can let you know. Did you say that? And did he say, I don't care about the numbers. I just know what I want.
Do you have our offices bugged or something? That is verbatim the way that went down. Come in and look at the numbers. He said, I don't care. I don't want to see the numbers. I'm just telling you what I want. That's 100%. And just for the record, all of our champions have audit rights. You can literally come in and audit. And, you know, he has all those rights to do that. He chooses not to. He doesn't care. He doesn't want to see the numbers. He doesn't care what the numbers are. He's just telling us what he wants.
I don't know, Dana. Like, I don't root, but I kind of was hoping that was going to work for him because I was going to try that myself. Yeah, I don't really care what the ratings are, what the numbers are. I mean, I just know what I want. Give me my money.
I mean, listen, go in anywhere and tell your boss you don't care about you guys and what's going on here. I just know what I want.
Yeah, I'm pulling for him on that one. Hey, Dana, really quickly, there's no way I can have you on the show and not ask you about Fight Island. What is the latest on the island, and are we really looking at a possible debut on June 27th?
Yeah, so I'll have pictures of the infrastructure next week and have more details for everybody. Yeah, this is absolutely positively happening, and I've been saying June 27th, but it's looking more like July 11th.
Okay, July 11th. That seems better.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you have the new updated date I've been saying June. It's July 11th.
So you need more time? How come July 11th?
That's the first date that we're actually bringing in all the different guys from other parts of the world. We have a fight June 27th. It's looking like it's going to be Dan Hooker and Poirier. And we can get Hooker into the country, so we'll do it in Vegas.
Dana White making news on the way out the door. You've got UFC 250, Nunes v. Spencer. That's Saturday. That's live from Vegas. It's on ESPN+ and pay-per-view. Look for that this weekend. Dana, great to have you back. Always appreciate you in the conversation.
Likewise, my friend. Have a great weekend.
You too, Dana. I'll be watching. Dana White, Nunes. I'm looking at this. The latest number, she's minus 650. She's amazing. She is the GOAT. All right, so Fight Island is a thing, but not until July 11th. The latest from Dana White.